You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, Zondervan, a revered and reliable source for transformative and inspirational content. Support this podcast by visiting zondervan.com and find your next favorite book. Now, on to the show.
Welcome in to the Invitation Podcast. I am super stoked today because I have someone on that honestly I've known for a long, long time. Carson Case is in here today. Carson, what's up, dude?
Woo! Let's do it.
This is gonna be fun and funny. Here's the thing. So for those of you who don't know Carson, quick backstory, he's got a ministry he's doing in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina called Soul Baby.
Yeah,
and he's
buddy.
Also just written a book called Born For It. So we are excited to talk to Carson about all things from Born For It to what he's seeing out there in Myrtle Beach and with this generation. And so, Carson, tell the people a little bit about what's up with you, what's going on. You're newly married to a woman my wife adores. Talk to me about all the stuff.
Yes, yes. In all seriousness, super grateful to be on the podcast today. Super thankful for your friendship. And super excited Amen. For this, because not just the info for the people, but also the laughs. And I feel like every time we get together, something crazy funny happens. So I'm ready for it. But for me, man, I've got an incredible wife, Erin Case. Shout out. I love her. We've been married 7 months, going on 8 months now. Learning a lot, having a lot of fun, laughing a lot. Life has been good, but also life has been hard, too. I think it's easy to look at, hey, there's the book, Born For It. There's the ministry and the movement of young adults called Soul. We get to travel. Sometimes we get to vacation a little bit, and you know, a few different things. But all in all, man, I think being young, being 24, being newly married, leading a ministry, building teams, doing those sort of things, preaching a message every now and then, and just trying to study and learn and work on my own faith before the Lord is a really hard task. So, you know, we're not in it for the money. We're not in it for the fame and the influence. So life is good. We're blessed. But at the same time, it's hard doing young ministry and trying to figure out marriage and all the while trying to keep your head on straight and remain humble.
And marriage is hard,
marriage
right?
Is
I mean,
just,
that's what we're finding
hard.
Out. Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of people just, and we'll get into other things, but off the bat, I know there's a lot of people that are listening to this that are single and dreading it. But there's a lot of things that people don't see. I think there's a lot of relationship stuff tossed out there, specifically on social media, that make people envy and really kind of covet that kind of relationship, but they don't necessarily know what they're envying. So shed a little light on, I know you're new to it, 7 months in, I'm new to it, you know, and I've been married a little bit longer, not much, but what are some of the things you guys are learning there that maybe you didn't know before you got into marriage that you wish you had known 7 months ago that is making you better as a follower of Jesus and as a man?
Yeah, I'll come out with this. I'll say that the person that you choose, and I say emphasis on choice because love is a choice, and I've been saying that a lot lately. The person you choose to marry, not just the person God puts in your lap, not just the one you've been waiting on, not just your prayer journal. I like all those things, but I'm being very serious here. The person that you choose to marry is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. And so you really, really need to be sure. You really need to meet with God about that person. You really need to prepare. You really need to get under the authority of God in prayer and fix your eyes on him through it, because it is really hard. And I think it's easy, man. I've looked for a long time prior to us getting married. You know, you see great couples and great pictures and great Instagram captions, and you see so many things on social media. And you start to realize, and I think I've experienced that firsthand, that a lot of it is false. It's not very real. It's one frame out of 200 probably uglier frames when talking about just the lifestyle and the hardships and the fights, and it's tough. But at the end of the day, I want to go back to what I said. It's a choice. And I've chose Aaron Case to be my lifelong partner. I have, before God, before the people I love, you were there. You know, you were one of my groomsmen. So before all of these special people in my life, I've said, hey, I'm choosing her even when I don't like it, even when I wake up and I'm full of ego and selfishness, even when we don't feel that good physically, whatever it looks like, even when the money's not in the bank account, because that's hard right now, being in your young 20s and being married, whatever that looks like, even if other things don't happen, I'm choosing to love you, to honor you, to serve you, to wash your feet, quote unquote, whatever that looks like. And we're going to honor Jesus together and carry out this life mission to give him glory. And man, that is so much easier said than done. And it's so easy to post our prettiest pictures of our date nights and our things, you know, some stuff that I put out there on social, and it's cool stuff. But at the end of the day, I've got to be at home and I've got to fold laundry. I've got to put dishes from the sink and the dishwasher, because if I don't, she might yell at me a little bit. Love you, babe. But, you know, she's big on that. And, you know, whatever those little things are, that's a daily look at what it takes to continue to kindle that friendship, to remain best friends, but also to love each other, to serve each other, to have a life outside of your home, to gain community, to gain friendships that are going to aid in your relationship and that you can serve and give to as well. So I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that we've realized in our marriage is the outer voices are very important. Obviously, the voice of God's important, and I can say that all day long on this podcast, but the small community that me and Aaron have around us, the way that they speak into our life, the way they encourage us, the way they sharpen us, has become uber important to our growth and our love and our friendship and all the fun that we have. So yeah, man, it's hard stuff, Luke. And you've taught me a lot as well. What, you're 3 years into it, right?
Yes. 3 years just recently. So no, that's good. And I think bigger than that is Aaron chose you by the absolute grace of God. So that's the good news. Here's the deal though. So, I mean, I want to get into the book. I want to, you know, Aaron was a big part of the book, the writing process, all that stuff. So
yeah. The
transition makes sense a little bit here. You wrote a book. It's a devotional. It's 90 days, right? 90 days.
Yep.
90 days. And it's a commitment. It's not like a year long commitment, but I think it's enough to challenge people, which I love, but it's also not such a commitment that you really have an excuse to not do it and do it consistently. And, you know, anyone that follows you kind of knows that you're big on the whole, like, no excuse thing. You don't want people, to really just cut corners or anything like that. So tell me first, I want to dive into a lot of devotionals are 365 days. I think this is part of the reason why you chose 90 days, but why 90 days? What was the thought process going into this book here?
All right. So I'll give you this, Luke, and you know me well. So I love the no excuse culture, and that comes from my family background. It comes from myself. I think when someone builds a culture of people around them and wants to lead in that, it's because they lead their self in that. And so when I speak to no excuses and when I speak to no cutting corners, it's because for Carson personally, I hold myself to a high standard. I expect a lot. I try to hold myself accountable. And I think with anything in life, you know, we're talking ministry, we're talking leadership, we're talking working out. If you first aren't holding yourself accountable in these things that you're seeing, then you won't be able to speak it well to other people. And that goes with many, many things. But the 90 days, I'll compare it to working out again, something that I love. There's no 30-day abs routine. That doesn't exist. You can't get your best body in 30 days. You can't just, hey, I'm going to try to figure it out. I'm going to cultivate some new habits. I'm going to pray so, so hard for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, and bam, it's going to happen for you. I firmly believe this, and this is what I looked at with the scale of 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, and bam, having a 90-day Devo book, is it takes about 2 to 3 weeks to commit to building a new habit, not forming it, but starting to build it. That's what I believe. And that's with anything in life. It takes a month, so 30 days, to kind of get pretty serious. You can look back in a month and say, oh, wow, like I've really done some damage here. I'm learning here. But I truly believe that it takes a handful of months, let's call it 2 or 3 months, adding into about 90 days, to say, wow, I not only started forming that habit at 2 to 3 weeks, I not only finished a month and can look back at faithfulness and obedience and grind and grit and hard work, but in the course of 2 to 3 months, 90 days of a Born For It book, I can say, wow, I've committed myself to a new lifestyle, to a faith lifestyle, to a faith first, not fear first. A lot of kind of what you get from the book. I've got the power of God. I'm forming new habits. Wow, I'm beginning to see a new me because the Spirit of God and because what God has spoken to me through a book like Born For It. So that right there, Luke, is the mindset behind Born For It.
Born For It, baby.
Woo,
I love it. So you got 90 days, 90 ways, and the content is great. I mean, anyone that's listened to the stuff that you've done, written, you know, all that stuff that you do and put out there for the world to read and listen to, it's great. But what's kind of, it's not like I've read it. I think some people would think I'm going to jump in here and there's going to be, you know, sequential stuff. Like we're going to go through fear for 4 days and joy for 5 days whatever, but it's very, it leapfrogs and kind of keeps you on your toes. Did you have a reason for doing that? Or was that just how you felt like God was leading you to write it? Or what were you thinking as you did that?
Well, yeah. And I'll tell you this, Luke, I mean, for the
it's unique, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've heard a lot of different things. I've been really encouraged by reviews or text or DMs. But I tell you this, and you can always learn from haters. You can always learn from something that you get sent or a review that you see online from something like a book that you've been able to publish. And you can take it and say, wow, that person knows nothing. I'm going to turn the other way. Or you can kind of look at some funny comments and say, maybe there's some truth in there. And I'll tell you, I got a comment that I did not like very much from some young girl. I don't know like where it was, whatever. We're not going to mention names. I'm not going to put her name out there, but I got a comment and it was, oh, you know, the book's kind of good and it's helping me a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's kind of simple and I'm not learning as much as I hope. So that's, you know, 3 stars out of 5 or something like that. And I begin to think about it. And at first you look at it and you're like, wow, I don't like you, you know, this and that, you don't know about my book,
never you know nothing
again. Yeah, and you start pointing those fingers, and that's kind of how I reacted. And then I sat and I thought about it, and I said, well, here's the honest truth. She's right. It's very simple. It's very elementary. I'm a just turned 24-year-old young married guy. Could I have written something a lot more in-depth? I really could, and you know that about me, Luke. I mean, there's deep conversations. Then there's time for like simple steps. There's profound things. There's a lot of scripture. There's one piece of scripture. But I had to go back of like why I wrote Born For It. And that's kind of what I wanted to give you the backstory on that is I've blogged for 3, 4, 5 years. I've written some awesome blogs. I've written some very simple blogs. I've written some blogs that I just wanted to throw in the trash so nobody could ever see again. They were just terrible. And I was like 20 years old. We're not going to get into that. But all in all, what I've realized is that the purpose for Born For It wasn't to create something so profound, something so deep about how much I know about marriage, about how much I know about life, about how much I know about leading 2 to 3 years of ministry in Myrtle Beach. No, the goal was to say, man, I've got a lot of friends and a lot of people that I hang around who are trying to find their faith. I know a lot of people via social media and that have read my blogs over the years that are still struggling with, is God the real deal? Can I follow Jesus and have a full life? Can I peer into the scriptures and actually understand it? Or is it like reading an old school textbook that I want nothing to do with? So I wrote Born For It. We're going to bring it back to that comment. I wanted it to be simple. I wanted it to be at a 8th grade level per se, because I wanted people to say, this is easy for me to pick up. Here's the truth, Luke. Here's the truth, Luke. You know this. Nobody really reads books anymore as much as they used to. And nobody likes to read as much. And so if you got something for 4, 5, 6 minutes a day that they can pop into and say, man, this helps me. It kind of gives me a pick me up and it directs me to scripture and it's helping me find my steps in faith. Well, hey, maybe I'm going to give that a shot. So I think the girl's comment, as much as it made me mad, it helped me realize the why behind the book, you know, and the why behind the book was a very simple level that anybody could pick up, whether you're 14 or you're 34, and you could say, hey, this is helping me find baby steps in my faith. It's helping me. It's not for the scholar. It's not for the head pastor. It's for the everyday person who's kind of just looking for God and struggling in faith and in fear and needs some scripture to help go with that and needs the Lord to speak to him. So it's simple, man. That's it. That's the moral of the story.
That is funny as heck. Because here's the thing. I did not see this. Is this like a review or something?
Yeah, dude. It's
and you know this person?
No, I don't.
You know this person?
I don't.
Here's what's funny. Here's what's funny though, is like you and I are the same. I once heard a few pastors that I won't mention. You could look it up, and they were like, if you saw our text messages, you would not come to our church. And I think it's funny though, because like those things, it doesn't matter who you are, that stuff like bothers you.
Yeah,
Stuff would bother me. I'm one of the reasons that I'm afraid to like keep checking up on my own book when it's finally released is because I don't want to like look at the reviews and read bad ones because I'll just be so upset.
Exactly.
But it's funny, like this is a whole different ball game we could get into, but it's like people are going to be upset because it's just not what they expected. Like if my book were too deep, they'd say it's too deep. I don't get it. Like why? Who's this guy think he is? You know?
Yep. You're always going to have somebody who wanted it a different way.
And that's the thing is I feel like a lot of people that are picking something up that they saw online or whatever, like when you go to read something or when you go to like strike up a friendship with someone, you have to go into it without an expectation of if this isn't what I want it to be, then it's terrible. It has to be, I want to read this and see what it's about and what it's like. And so I think you did a good job of telling us, you know, kind of what your heartbeat is behind the book, but probably, and people that have been listening up to this point, you know, I mean, I'm saying Born For It all the time because Carson and I like to make fun of each other's book titles just because we're like that. And, here's the thing though. It's an endearing, it's a love thing. I mean, and Born For It though, honestly, I think, you know, you and I have talked about this, but you go, what does that mean? And I think you and I all the time, we'll look at what people are doing or saying, and it's like, what does that mean? Even mean? Yeah. I don't even know what that means. It sounds nice, but what's
Why'd
it mean?
You post and, that?
Yeah. I mean, and that's, it's a whole thing. It's, and you think you know why, but you might not be 100% sure. So tell us, why did you call the book Born For It? Born for what?
Born For It. Are you serious? Born For It? Man, that's a crappy title. No, I'm playing. I love it. And you know what's crazy is I'll tell you this little backstory is that was not the first title that I sent in to be proposed. And I think that
no way.
Me telling y'all this. Yeah, so that wasn't it. I think maybe
I'll share my story too, because mine's worse than yours, bro. I promise you, the people will love mine. You know mine, well, I think.
And mine's kind of like, it's a little bit funny, but it's more of like, it's just a God thing because Born For It has become this phrase, but it's more of a mentality and the way that I preach it and the way that I talk about it and the way that we talk about it in larger scale gatherings is, you know, Born For It's just a cool phrase to say, but it more so is a mentality from scripture to carry as a young person in stepping with faith and not fear every day. But I'll tell you this backstory. I sent in a proposal about a year and a half ago, maybe something like that. And it was called Young and Free, or The Free People, or The Young and Free People, or whatever that looked like. And you know what's funny is the basis of that is, I'll tell you this, I was not trying to rip off Hillsong Young and Free, even though that's where I got the idea from. I was not ripping them off. I'll say that right now. No, I'm playing. I think I ripped off Hillsong Young and Free years back, but anyways. I was 20. I'm sorry. But I was 20, 21 years old, something like that. And we were starting a gathering, which has become Soul in Myrtle Beach at Coastal Carolina, in and around the beach, young people. And the thought was, let's get curious about faith. Let's talk about our issues. We don't care if you're full-fledged for Jesus. We don't care if you're just searching, if you're looking, if you believe in the stars and the crystals and whatever you believe, we want to talk about it and we want to eat fried chicken over that. And we're going to figure this thing out together. And that's what Amen. Young and Free was. It was bringing young people around a circle, smaller circles in the beginning, and saying, hey, we all want freedom together in our heart and in our souls. So let's chat about it. And that was the culture. And I just love that word, especially as a young leader. We had a team meeting last night, and I'm thinking about that is we're not really trying to build here. Even me and you, Luke, and the things we talk about, it's not really labels. It's not really the next big thing or the next movement or even the next conference. It's a mindset that represents Jesus Christ. That's it. And you can call it whatever, and you can have your taglines, and you can have your social media cues, and you could go, 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 go. But at the end of the day, and I'm going to preach a little bit, if it's not just Jesus focused, if it's not about people finding freedom in Jesus alone, then honestly, it probably doesn't matter that much at the end of time. And so for us, Young and Free was just a little mindset. It was just a little thing that started Soul in Myrtle Beach and in and around the College of Coastal Carolina to say, hey, this is a mindset of faith. It's a mindset of scripture. It reflects Jesus. It reflects loving people and bringing freedom to dark places, which is the city that we live in. And that morphed into Soul. And so the only reason that I brought that book topic there was because Young and Free was just the culture that we were building here. It was what I was used to. It was the mindset that I was carrying. And I think here's what you notice in the book world and in the proposal world. And Luke, you'll cue me in on this, is you realize you're not that great of a writer. You realize you're not that great of a writer at first. I came into this thing and you blog for a couple years on Twitter and you think that you are the next C.S. Lewis, genuinely, you know? You come in this thing and you have written three blogs that got a couple thousand views and you send a proposal in and you say, I'm the next big thing. I'm New York Times. And really, it's kind of a prideful thing. I mean, I experienced that. You probably did too. And I had to realize that I didn't have the best title, that my book needed to be reviewed and re-edited time and time again. And they helped me with that mentality, kind of become more of a born for it thing, which is from 2 Timothy. And I'm just talking about the powerful mindset that the Holy Spirit has given us in belief. And by faith, that's what we're going to step in every day. So that's how the book title morphed a little bit. It was the culture we're living in here, trying to build a movement and a ministry in Myrtle Beach. It was kind of what the publishing world helped me out with. We conjured it up. And now everybody's born for it every day of their life. And I just scream and shout it everywhere I go.
Let's take a quick break to hear from one of our wonderful sponsors.
Have you ever felt helpless as you look around at the needs in the world today? So many of us wonder if there's anything we can really do to help. Well, we want to tell you about a new book from our friends at Zondervan called Disruptive Compassion that just might answer some of these questions. With raw and inspiring stories from the world's most desperate places, Convoy of Hope founder and CEO Hal Donaldson takes us on a tour along the front lines of courage and compassion. Let this book be your crash course in what it means to become a revolutionary as you learn how to evaluate the resources you already have, navigate real concerns and risks, check your motives, and ultimately become equipped as an agitator with purpose. Disruptive Compassion by Hal Donaldson is available for pre-order now wherever you buy books. Get your copy today.
Hey guys, we're so glad you joined us today. Would you be willing to take 3 minutes to take our annual Converge Podcast Network survey? You'll be entered into a drawing for a $50 Starbucks gift card. All you have to do is text Converge to 31996 and take our quick 3 minute survey. That's Converge to 31996. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
That is the truth. Here's the thing. It's funny though. The reason your title got shot down versus mine is not nearly as bad. I think we talked about this. I did a sermon series called By Dirt and Blood, and the publisher called me. Originally, they love the title. And then they're like, hey, we got to call you. We got something we got to talk about. I said, okay. And they're like, hey, we got to change a few things about the book. I'm like, not the title. The title's dope. And they're like, okay, but the problem is that it's close to a Nazi chant. Wow. And I go, wait, so that is wait, awful. What? Yeah. And they're like, it's by soil and blood. And I'm like, all right, let's change the title. But
holy moly.
Anyway, so it could be worse always, people. But I love it. And that's the real mindset here. I think the biggest thing around Born For It is it's a mindset. There's a complete and total adoption of that phrase and thought process that people just come to kind of walk in. And so I'm curious, what is your hope though for people after they read the book? So many people, I'm afraid they hear people on a podcast and they're like, oh, they're just trying to sell a book. And yeah. You and I are kind of about being real. The reality is like, yeah, we're trying to sell a book, but I'm not trying to sell you a book because I just want you to buy a book. Like if you don't think the book's going to change your life, then don't buy the book.
Right. Right.
So what are you believing and hoping, and what have you been praying over this book as people grab it and are reading it?
Well, and I'll say this, I'll start it with this, you know, let's be real. I think in the first month or two, it's really exceeded my expectations. I'm not going to throw out numbers and stats here, but the book has done.
But it's a New York Times bestseller and sold a million copies. So it's.
We're praying, we're hoping, but no. But on a real note, it has sold a lot more copies than I thought. I was nervous. I mean, genuinely, you get excited, you get a book at a young age, you get this honor and this privilege, and it's so cool. And there's been so much just blood, sweat, and tears poured into this thing. So many. Edit so many early mornings and late nights, and then it releases, and you genuinely, especially just my type one kind of personality, says, yeah, about 20 people are going to buy this, and then it's going to be dead and gone, and nobody's going to care about Born for It. And that's that inner critic, you know, that we deal with. Everybody's got an inner critic of some sort, but reality is, in the first month or two, now going on 2 months, it sold a lot of copies. A lot of people are talking about it. I get videos, I get pictures, I get text, encouragement. Hey, I've looked at day 22. Hey, I've looked at day 63. Wow, I'm only on day 3 and it's already just encouraging me in my faith. And I think, Luke, that's it. That's what I want is, man, I truly don't believe. Here's what I'll say. I believe that I'll write another book. And I believe that the next book that I write and the next book that I write in the next 5, 10, 15 years will be more profound. I love that my first book right now as a 23-year-old, it was published, now a 24-year-old, and I'm looking to the future saying, hey, I just want this book to encourage people in their faith. I want it to encourage young people, maybe 16 to 20, maybe in their young upper 20s, whatever it looks like. I just want them to be curious about the name of Jesus. I want them to be curious about reading the Bible. I want them to be curious just about asking some questions, maybe just ask questions about their life, about what's happening, about moving out of their parents' house, about, you know, paying their first bills, about going to their first local church and calling it home. Whatever all of those decisions look like, I hope that this Devo about purpose and talents and gifting and the scriptures, they can just look at these 90 days and say, hey, it's encouraged me to take Jesus more seriously. And that's the hope for it, man. And so we're praying that in the coming months, as I get to speak more about it, as I get more books sold, as more people give me reviews, as more people talk to me about it, that all in all of those things come together and we say, hey, this has helped me see Jesus more clearly. And this has really encouraged my faith on a daily basis. That's it. Bam.
I love that. So, I mean, that's at the end of the day, you just want people to draw closer to the Lord through the book.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Here's a question that's like hard to answer. Uh-oh. But I'm curious, a few months after the release, if you could change anything about the book, what would it be?
And this is serious. I'm not getting uber spiritual. This is real life for me. I would have prayed, fasted, and re-edited the book more and more, if that makes sense. I would have went over it more and more. I would have got on my knees before the Lord privately more and more. I would have fasted from things more and more. And I've done those things, Luke, but I'll say you look back and you can market and you can pre-sale and you can post here and you can send to all of your popular influential friends. But at the end of the day, if God wants to deliver a message that he put in your mouth and deliver it to the world, he wants you to get before him. He wants you to honor him and he wants you to take seriously your work and steward it well. So I think I could have edited a few more times. I think I could have prayed a lot more and fasted a lot more before the Lord.
That's good. It's a grueling process. So for people that
maybe want to write a book someday or just curious about the process. It is one of those things. You almost get sick of your own book because you've read it so many times. You're just excited to hear other people's thoughts on the book, you know? So I get that. But the good thing that I can say is I know you prayed over that book. I know you fasted from things, but it is one of those deals where you just feel like you feel more prepared going into the next books and whatever it is that God wants to do with your life. So I love it. So as we're kind of wrapping up here, I want you to tell the people one thing that you want to invite them into through this book. I mean, not just like a deeper relationship with Jesus or whatever, but what's something that you're really hoping and praying that they will feel invited to partake in because of this book. You know, obviously you want people to read it and draw closer to the Lord. But I feel like, you know, one of the big things here is that purpose that a lot of people feel like they're lacking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say this. I'll finish it. I'll close it. Maybe you've got a few more questions. I don't know. But there's two ways I want to look at Born for It and my current life and the way that I want to lead and influence people. Is one, I want people to know that they're loved and that Jesus wants a relationship with them. Luke, you know it. I see it. We see it every day. You know, we're in our 20s. A lot of people from 18 to 30 years old, genuinely, they just don't believe that because of the things they've done, because of what they've seen, because of who they've been with, whatever it looks, because of the addictions that they carry, the baggage they carry, that God doesn't want them. That He doesn't care for them. Mm-hmm. That time's up. Hey, maybe let's just do this. I'll kind of get better over time. I'll start a family. I'll kind of become a mom or a dad. And then maybe in those years, I can get right with God because my crazy days are over. And I hate hearing that. I hate hearing it. You know, I've had to give up so many things. God has transformed my life. But even though I'm this preacher, book writer, yada, 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 whatever you want to call it, I'm a broken guy who needs Jesus on an everyday basis. And that's just like all of us, guy or girl. So that's number one, is I just want you to know, if you're a young person listening, that you're not too far gone. You can engage with the power of God. You can be sealed, changed, transformed. Your life can look a whole lot different in just a few months, in just a year span of time, because you start to commit to Jesus and commit to community and commit to people. So it's not over for you. That's number one. Then number two, I think this is a big heart cry, and me and Luke talk about this a lot. And a lot of our close circle of friends, you know, having influence at a young age is dangerous. It's really not the best, honestly. Mm-hmm. Having social media influence, having followers, having, you know, handfuls of people retweet anything that you put up, having handfuls of people email you or DM you or ask you things. And I'm being so serious with this. Being 24 years old, it's not the wisest thing because I really don't know as much as I think that I know. And I really haven't walked with God that long. I've walked with God in a very serious way for a few years. That's not that long. When you look at comparison of giants in the faith of 25, 30, 40, 50 years. So here's my message with this book is the whole book. And I've said this, but I'll say it again, is really about the power of God birthing purpose, birthing talent and gifts in you. It's not about you being a young person and getting around the power of God and following Jesus. And then He's going to make your dreams come true and He's going to give you success and He's going to give you the life you've always prayed for. Like, I'm sorry if that's what we've been reading, if that's the podcast that we've been listening to, if that's even the preachers, that's not it. It's not the scriptures, not the Bible that we're reading, Luke. The whole focus of Born for It is that God, not you, but God has birthed a spirit in you. And because of God, not yourself, because of God, you have the things that you have and you have power and you can step with faith and with purpose. And that doesn't mean your life's going to be together. It doesn't mean you can always pay your bills. It doesn't mean you're going to have the relationship that you've dreamed of. It doesn't mean that your prayer journal will always align with what's actually going to happen in your life. And God is God. And so we're just going to honor Him and surrender to Him. And that's my second hope. And that's probably my most important hope, really, the whole podcast, Luke, is that as a young generation in our 20s right now, and we talk about Jesus and we post and we've got all these relationships and new young marriages, that we would humble ourselves before the hand and the power of God and say, hey, it's about the power of God. It's not about me. And if God does a bunch with me, if he gives me books, if he lets me speak, if he lets me start something to start this business, or he gives me this incredible relationship that looks awesome on Instagram, if he does, then I'll honor him and I'll give him the glory. But here's the hard part, Luke. Here's where I'll finish. If he doesn't, what if he doesn't? You know, what if he doesn't give you your second book deal? What if he doesn't give you a relationship that looks like theirs on paper? What if he doesn't move you to that place? Even if he doesn't, he's still God and he's still good. And he still has the power. And that's it. That's what I want to end it on.
Board for it, baby. Available. Woo!
Come on.
On Amazon. It's in Barnes and Noble. If you want to go and check that thing out too.
Let's do it.
It's all over the place.
Go get it.
I'm telling you, fantastic devotional. Everybody needs to check it out. Go leave a good review on Amazon.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Go check it out. Hey, thank you guys for accepting the invitation to join us here today. Until next time, peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to The Invitation with Luke Lauzon. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com. With so many podcasts to choose from, we're glad you chose to tune in today. We'd like to invite you to listen to one of our other Converge podcast partners. Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo is all about having a dream or calling to serve God, but then daily putting it into action and drawing inspiration on the journey. Great encouragement for those looking to do big things for God. Subscribe today to Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo in your favorite podcasting app.